my friends. Welcome back to the worldwide broadcast, the Ted and Austin Brewer Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. My apologies for making a shake. I was trying to get some stuff together here this morning. We're definitely running this show the best we possibly can for you guys every single day. So thank you again for your support. I know a lot of people really send us positive emails. They take care of us, either their toothpaste, their Ultimate Multiple Powder, or capsules, either which one, or the vitamin C on sale. But thank you guys for all the positive feedback and making us your number one shop for all your health master needs and all your nutrition news every single day, because we couldn't do it without you guys. That's why you see so many podcasts over the years. They just shell off. They just fall off the map, especially ones that aren't getting a bunch of, how should I say, direct revenue from mainstream media or pharmaceutical companies. When you try to do an independent with no sponsors that can't control what you talk about, and you try to do it all on your own, basically on your own with Jesus, that's pretty much the only way you can do it, which pretty much that's it.
Well, you know, right now there's a huge article right now in the Wall Street Journal that says the veteran podcasters hanging up their headphones, and it lists people have been on the air doing podcasts for up to 10 years, and they're all quitting.
Yeah.
And they're saying that they have no way to monetize the show.
No.
And they can't pay for the production of the cost. It's because it's so expensive to do these shows and do them right.
The only way to make a lot of money with these guys is you got to start getting ads and sponsors, mm-hmm. and with that comes strings.
Well, and they said that what's big, the biggest thing, see, what you and I don't do, what we've never done, is rely on guests to drive the show.
Which a lot of shows do.
And now, if we were individually trying to do the show, if Austin was solo or I was solo all the time, we'd have to bring on guests. The problem with that is the guests are no longer going on most podcasts because they're being asked to be on bigger and bigger and bigger shows like Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening is you can't pull the guest profiles that you have.
So it's basically all the smaller podcasts are just getting squeezed.
Well, you know, we have multiple people. I mean, I remember years ago, you know, we came up with the Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program, and I was doing radio shows all over the country, and it was a blast. I had a great time. You know, it was a home study course. And I remember, this is 30, 40 years ago, and I remember I had so many of my friends say, wow, I love what you're doing. I'm going to do it. And everyone tried and failed, all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, dozens. And I thought to myself, gosh, man, when you're in God's will, you never lack God's support. I always remember that. And so what I try to do and what Austin has tried to do on the show now is we're trying to keep, you know, the focus on this thing, you know, health, nutrition. And we also want to make sure that you understand who Jesus is. That's what we did, Angel Wars. I mean, we took an entire week and did Angel Wars. And, you know, and so it's just one of those, like our 2000s, 2001, 3, 4, 5 episode. And so we want people to realize that we're here not just because we're talking about health or fitness, nutrition, or the bunch of weirdos who are doing the news. We're here because of God and because of Jesus. And he's the number one thing in my life. He's the absolute most important thing that I could do and talk about on the show. And so we try to balance all that back out. We don't make it like a preaching show, but we want to make it so everybody knows who we stand for. And that's what I've learned. If you know, God's will done, God's way never lacks God's support. So thank you. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins. I had a great email last night. Oh, by the way, I was in Europe for 3 weeks. And I can't tell you, dozens and dozens and dozens of the emails that you sent me ended up in my junk file. Ooh. I have no idea why. I didn't even check. Last night I went in there and I'm like, I was overwhelmed with how many emails there were.
Yeah, it's funny because you're in Europe. You're like, yeah, I'm not getting a lot of emails while I'm over here. I'm like...
Well, I tried to go through them all last night. One of the guys who texted me last night, or emailed me last night, that I saw from a few weeks ago, he was listing all the things that he started doing from the podcast, and now he's back in church, he's back with God,
good.
He's back with Jesus, and he started listing all the health things that he did.
Yeah.
And, of course, I responded to him last night, and then I went ahead and moved it to my regular file, and now I can't find it. And I'm like, great.
I'm about to say, that's a good email.
I was going to read it on the air. I couldn't find it. But I've got so many. So I apologize. Forgive me. I mean, I didn't know you'd contacted me. So a lot of you are saying, well, are you getting these? Some of you contact me 3 and 4 times. Are you getting these emails? And I'm like, I didn't know. I didn't get your email. So now I'm responding to them. So sorry about that. That was kind of a oversight on I guess in Europe, everything gets censored over there.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. There's probably keywords in some of those emails. And they automatically say they're spam.
Now, the one thing that hadn't got censored, I got another traffic ticket in the mail from Europe today.
Oh, they're going to make sure they get their pound of flesh out of you with that.
Yeah, it was like another 69 euros, and I'm like,
of course they do.
Great.
And they love their cameras.
I saw one flash go off. I hope this is that one. Yeah, but it's, it looks like it's written in Czechoslovakian, so I don't even know what it is. It's a $69 ticket. Well, excuse me. Avis charged me $30, about half the price, to process the credit card charge. It was unbelievable. But thank you. Thank you so much for being here with us, because I tell you what, guys, we couldn't do it without you.
Oh, an update on that. I saw an email you had sent me. It was an older one on that. The post office, back 2 weeks ago, had a massive glitch in their system. This had nothing to do with us. Everything was paid for. They received all the shipments, and they shipped shipments. It was for one day, and it affected about 20 orders. And the orders went out, went to the prospective hubs, and then the post office put a freeze on everything and said that they had not gotten paid.
Unbelievable.
This didn't happen just with us. This happened with about 200 other vendors via Shipping Easy that I found out. And so if you haven't gotten a package and a package is saying in transit or it's being held, please check your mailbox. I had a lot of customers. We had one customer, great customer today. They called up and they were all irate about it. They said that we haven't paid our bill and the post office is holding our order. And I talked to him personally. I said, I am so sorry this has happened. I explained to him. I said, could you do me a favor? Could you go out to your post office box out by the road? Calls back 5 minutes later. It's in the mailbox. Looks like it's been here about 5 days. Love you, brother. It's fine.
I got one of those emails,
yeah,
too.
So if you're seeing some weird tracking, like I said, it's happened about 20 orders. You see weird tracking, and it says it's held or it's frozen. Once that happened, they didn't do any more additional tracking at all. It just went straight to everybody's mailbox about 6 days later after a delay. So it's completely cleared up. But if you're seeing that, please check your post office or check your mailbox, because there's like a 99.99% probability it's in your box waiting for you to grab over there. It's just the post office and their infinite inability to organize detail once again. Surprise.
By the way, I'm going to say something here. I'm going to start a little controversy. This person was not a follower of Jesus.
Okay.
This person was just a giant steaming pile of manure, as far as I'm concerned. He died. And I am not going to give anybody any condolences, though I'm not going to do what Robert Mueller happened with Robert Mueller this weekend. Trump finds out he died. He's all excited that he's dead. He's happy he's dead. I'm like, well, you're the president. You're only going to tell somebody you're happy he's dead.
It's pretty sloppy.
Pretty sloppy. Yeah. And OnlyFans owner Leonid Radivinsky, he's Jewish. He is dead. He basically owned OnlyFans.
Yeah, you're 100%. I was wondering who you're going to call out that.
I'm going to say something to you. He has done more to turn your daughters into whores.
Not their daughters. The younger generation's daughters. Not our listeners.
Well, I'm telling you, a lot of people who basically are following Jesus, and I'm talking your, as in the country's children, your daughters and children, not necessarily you guys. I was right about that. But the point is,
it is
unbelievable how many girls have turned to OnlyFans and pornography.
The problem with it is the whole thing has been a lie from the manipulation standpoint from the markets. Because I talked to a guy the other day that hated OnlyFans. He was in the tech industry, and he said that because he had daughters too, and he said the thing that he hated about this is what they did was they took key girls that were already in industry. And they blew them up on social media. And then what they do is they pay them to promote and lie about how much money they're making. I'm making $250,000 a month on OnlyFans. And what they do is they disseminate it on every social media page, on all the algorithms. So what happens is all these younger girls that are 18, 19 years old, that everybody, boys or girls, are pretty dumb when they're 18, 19 years old. They go, oh, I make $250,000 a month. It was all a lie. Then you get these girls on here. They start posting photos that are never coming off the internet, videos that are never coming off the internet. And he said the average pay, the average price is like $1,400 to $1,500 a month these girls are making. That's it, average.
And that's at their peak, Austin.
Yeah, no, for a month. Now, that's on average for the average individual. He said all these top-tier girls on there that are saying they're making $1 million a month and all this stuff, he said half of it's lies. He goes, And this guy that just died, I found out he had bumped it up to 40% off the top is what he was taking finally at the end. Mm-hmm. So even if some girl did this industry and she was making $100,000 a month, he was taking $40,000 a month fee.
40%.
$40,000 a month. No, 40,000.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm
saying.
Right,
40%.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is
they can't get enough free air.
No, I just
– it's sad.
I have a friend of mine who knew a girl who was on there, and she had been on 300 magazine covers, and she had thousands and thousands of followers, but they'd all dropped off, and she wasn't making any money per month. And the crazy thing about it is that it has a very short lifespan with this. Unless they decide to pick you and promote you and push you out there.
And you do what they want you to do.
Yeah, you got to do some pretty filthy
stuff.
Yes,
well, then that's what a lot of it is. If you don't get the algorithm nod, they just drop you to the bottom of the barrel with that. Yeah.
And then it's done.
It's sad.
But no, it is. But, you know, people are always saying to me, well, the Jews control the porn industry.
They do.
They do.
100%.
Now, let me give you.
They brag about it.
Anyway, since you want to know, we're going to name some names here real quick. Let's do it. Make sure you're happy. I'm not going to name the companies that they're with and who they founded, but it's the biggest things in that porn entertainment industry, which is not really entertainment. It's porn filth. Steve Hirsch, Joe Francer, Solomon Friedman, Paul Fishbein, Gary Kremen, Mike Kulik, Greg Lansky, Mike Lucas, Seth Wierowski, Cable Rosenberg, Leonard Drimsky, Steve Ordenstein, Solom Ach, Ralph Baske, Ralph Ginsberg, Al Goldstein, common denominator. They own 97% of the porn industry. All Jewish. Now you think, well, how did that happen? Well, you got to remember, they're not dealing with what Jesus taught about lust and the eyes and all the other stuff. They're dealing with sheer economics and how to make money and what's the best way to say it? How to take a young girl let's say it this way. A girl's 18, 19 years old. She gets in trouble with her parents. Parents toss her out. Okay? Happens all the time. You know, the girl's got to run her mouth. Boys got to run their mouth. We all did that. We all were the nightmare, most of us, you know, when we were 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. And so you get kicked out. And all of a sudden, you don't know what to do. Someone says, hey, you need to do OnlyFans. And it turns them into whores. They're selling themselves. They're having sex on air. They do all the stuff. And you think, well, why are they doing that? Well, it's because they're trying to support themselves in many cases, or else their boyfriend pushes them into it. I'm not going to go into this much, but this is the crazy thing is about the hidden hand of the doggone pornography industry. And this guy he's died in his 40s. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to go as far as Trump did, but I tell you what, he will not be missed. And they're the same folks that have pushed toxic masculinity. This is a really good article, and it talks about how men are so toxic because they're men. And, you know, I'm going to read this to you. It's a pretty good article by Shirk from the American Thinker. For 15 years now, we've witnessed a social event that has never occurred in human history, an outright attack on masculinity. This all happened with Obama, by the way, because he's gay. He's married to a dude. He started this mess. As someone who sees he didn't start it, he just promoted it. As someone who sees human history repeating various cycles, some longer, more complex than others, and not only progressing or evolving a straight line, predictable line, it's unique how men now is basically are being told they're toxic. Masculinity is not synonymous with violence. To be sure, violent men are an indispensable component of every emerging civilization. We're talking about wars now and fighting men. Before the poets have time to speak in virtue and before the class of politicians exist to speak of civic duty, men who are capable of violence must vanquish enemies, intimidate competitors, and move the heavy stones from every civilization's foundations. That's very well written. I want you guys to read it. The point is, it's saying that, you know, where have all the men gone? That's one of the biggest problems that we have in today's society, Austin, that there are no leadership values as far as with men who are real men. They're basically watching video games all day in their parents' basement. They're effeminate. They don't work out. It's unbelievable what you see when you just go to the airport. And ladies, I'm going to fuss for 1 second, okay? And I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. 90% of the men that I see in the airport now or walking behind their wives or their girlfriends like they're on a choke chain on a doggone leash.
You know, I wasn't going to say anything. I picked up on that when we were going to St. Louis the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it too.
I saw it at the airport.
It's very odd. And let me clarify this. I get it. When you're in a lot of heavy traffic with people and you're trying to miss a gate and you guys are basically running to a gate and you're about to lose your plane and everybody's trying to move.
It's not just airports.
No, it's not. But I did want to cover one thing. This is not a positive note. But the man had a legacy. I used to love him on there. I want to cover this on there. Chuck Norris, you guys saw.
Oh, man.
He passed away to go to heaven on last week. Mm-hmm. I watched him a lot when I was younger. He was actually a big reason I got into karate and fighting.
Eight different black belts.
I know.
He was world champion multiple
times. The thing that I loved about Chuck Norris is that he was not just a action star, a movie star with karate like a lot of these guys were back in the day. This guy actually competed for years in open karate. And was in some of the biggest films on the planet. You know, basically Walker, Texas Rangers, was a show that lasted forever. He was also in, he fought Bruce Lee in Return of the Dragon, if you guys remember that.
That was a great fight.
Huge fight with them.
Oh, by the way, Bruce Lee couldn't have beaten him.
You don't think so?
No way.
Chuck Norris fast, man. He had some legs on him.
I was watching him on an interview, and they said, well, have you ever really fought Bruce Lee? He goes, no, he wouldn't fight me.
No.
No, Bruce Lee was great.
No, yeah.
But Bruce Lee was a Hollywood actor.
He had some legs on him. And if you ever watch some of his old videos, I used to watch it all the time when I was in karate. It's, I mean, his kicks had so much doggone power behind him, man. He was a monster in speed. And so, again, my condolences to the family. The guy was a legend. I mean, for decades and decades and decades, as far as the movie industry and karate industry, for actually, like he was saying, that was saying, personifying what a good, aggressive man is supposed to be, respectful values, but still, when the time comes, needing to be violent. When the time doesn't, you basically maintain yourself.
Well, you know, I heard this, that Chuck Norris actually had a grizzly bear carpet in his room, but the bear wasn't dead. He was just afraid to move.
The Chuck Norris jokes will never die. I mean, there's always epic ones. There's a reason why he had that legacy to him.
Yeah.
So,
but, you know, he's just, you know,
he's a good guy.
When the boogeyman goes to bed at night, he checks his closet for Chuck Norris. Mancow sent me these. There's like 100 of them.
Oh, there's so many. It was epic because the guy had such a background.
But we needed a little bit of humor.
He did.
This show needed a little bit of humor.
Oh, no, it did. So also, too, I covered this earlier, the vitamin C product of the week on sale. Horrible segue, but I want to give you guys a heads up on that because I'm going into another article discusses here. Update. He says vitamin C may reactivate genes for skin renewal, preventing thin skin. It says vitamin C rejuvenates aging skin and actually can reduce wrinkles. And this is amplified by collagen. Now, you guys have asked me about it. It's on its way right now. I got some demo cans that I've been trying on there.
Please get some. I'm getting blown up.
No, I got it. This is different colleges.
Email after. I'm getting hammered with it.
Everybody's angry.
Well, no. Everybody wants fingernails. Everybody wants hair.
And I get it. I get it. But the problem is, you guys know how picky I am about raw ingredients. I will either not produce a product if I can't get a hold of the raws and actually see lab testing on it before I just roll something out to try to bring something to market and make money on it. I'm not going to do it. I won't do it.
That's why it took a year to get the purple sticks back.
Yeah.
We made sure we
Oh, we tested them. I mean, I can't tell you how many we had so many times I'd be in his kitchen and we'd have all these glasses lined up, all these different flavors, all these different things of it. And I'm like, well, try this one. We get done and I'm like, man, we need to go work out.
You had to sip it. You couldn't
chug them. But still, though, when you sip like 5-6 different ones, and then you go, we got to go back down again. Which one is the best? Okay, well, this one's the best. These two are out. Then you drink the other ones, and you're like, all right. Oh, the cans are on the way, by the way.
By the way, something really weird has happened, and I don't really understand it. I'm not trying to make a conspiracy theory out of it, but Charlie Kirk had a mentor. He's a tycoon, very wealthy man. And he, quote unquote, had an accident playing pickleball.
I saw that.
And now he's dead.
Yeah.
Now, I tried to look him up this morning.
Pickleball's like one of the.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pickleball.
It wasn't skydiving or scuba diving. Yeah,
his name's Jeff Webb. And they turned off his life support. Now, I don't know what happened to him. I don't know what his stance was on Zionism. I'm going to go there for a second. I don't know why he suddenly died. I don't know any of this stuff, but he was a mentor of Charlie Kirk's. And suddenly now he's gone. And I'm not trying to assign any nefarious thing to this. He could have just had an accident. He could have fallen during pickleball and had a head injury.
How old was he?
76.
So he could have tripped the pickleball.
My condolences to his family. I'm really, really sorry that he's gone. He really is a good man. And I hate to see that kind of happen to him. By the way, Trump basically threatened last week, over the weekend, that he was going to blow up all of the Iranian infrastructure as far as all the electrical grids and everything. And he kind of countered and kind of said, through the grapevine, well, you go ahead and do that. We're going to hack into your system over there in the United States, and we're going to take down your power plants. Yeah, we're going to slow down for a minute on that one. And all of a sudden, they're backing off now, and they're not doing that. Now, what's interesting about that is this. Whoever's controlling Trump, and he's being controlled, you can guarantee that, they've thought about what they said in Iran, and they also realize, remember, when the United States was bombing Germany, they didn't bomb the Chevron Standard Oil refineries. Nope. There's a certain point of infrastructure destruction that you can't come back from for decades.
It benefits nobody.
And if you want to go back in and you want to control the Iranian oil, Iranian assets, and Iranian natural gas, and you destroy everything, You're in a situation where now you got 90 million people starving to death, and they become jihadists because now they're mad because what do they have left? What do they have left? They have nothing left to live for, so they have everything to die for. We're going to destroy the great Satan, which is what they call us, and which I can't really say I blame them for that because some of the stuff that we do in the United States is pretty nuts. I mean, we decide to go to war, just tack around, just for the kicks and giggles, I guess.
Well, the thing about it is now, too, if you look now, the entire narrative's completely collapsed as far as we're attacking Iran to prevent them from having nuclear weapons. And that whole narrative's completely dissolved now. Well, now these guys are coming out saying there was no intel at all that they had nukes that they were about to deploy.
Well, they had none of that. I posted this on the website. Now they're all trying to blame Russia collusion, same thing that Mueller tried to do back in 2016, 2017, about Russian collusion as far as what's happening as far as with Israel and Iran and everything else. It's all the Russians' fault. Now, this is just nonsense. I'm telling you that. It's Israel. I can't be any more clear than that. Israel, that's it. And the United States working with Mossad and CIA. And I've posted an article, and it goes into detail with this, and it says the CIA and Mossad are pretty much connected together with this. And they are. And we need to understand that, but that's what the entire media is doing now. They're obfuscating, and they're spinning it. Jeffrey Epstein, you're saying now, was not Mossad. He was Russian. Now, I don't even know how to say how stupid that is. I mean, but read the book, Dead Men Tell No Tales. I probably sold 100,000 of those books on the show. And it's okay. I don't mind. You guys read the book. You probably get it online for free. But you need to read the book. He was Mossad. He was Israeli, dual Israeli citizenship. But by the way, now they're coming back and saying, Trump's saying that Iran has come to the negotiation table and they're not going to bomb their infrastructure. And Iran said, what are you talking about? You haven't talked to us. You know, whatever you want to do.
I saw that. I don't know what political theater is going on.
Trump has to have a win here.
Yeah.
We went to the bargaining chip. We told him we were going to bomb him in 48 hours, and he probably was. And somebody said, no. You're not going to bomb Standard Oil. You're not going to bomb Chevron or whoever like they did in Germany. I mean, they had these giant refineries in Germany that were taking coal and turning it into diesel fuel. We did not have that technology in the United States. And they said, no, we're not doing that. We're not going to go in and destroy the infrastructure. It's worth, what, too much money. And we're going to make sure it's still functional when we get out.
Well, that's why Israel got so much blowback last week when they hit that giant natural gas facility.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they got global blowback from that. Everybody said, what are you guys doing? This is the largest natural gas production facility in the world. And you guys are now deciding you're going to blow it up? Do you understand the ramifications from this? Natural gas facilities aren't just something you put back together next week.
Oh, by the way, another missile quote, unquote, from Iran. He almost hit the mosque there in Israel. Don't believe that. That's a complete and total lie. There's no way that Iran's targeting that mosque on the Temple Mount. Now, I believe Israel will destroy it, personally. I believe they'll destroy it and rebuild the third temple because that's their goal. That's their fantasy. And the crazy part about it is that, you know, they're going to tell you that Iran destroyed their own mosque. It's not true. Why would you take down a 1,000-year-old mosque? You're not going to do that. But they want to destroy that mosque so they can build their temple on the third,
The thing about that's also happening with this conflict and nobody's discussed really is the fact that the banker boys had to get also a distraction off gold and silver. Now, so you've watched it drop off precipitously in the last couple weeks.
Everybody's going to cash, though.
Everybody's going to cash. Everybody's going to oil. Everybody jumped on the oil train 4 weeks ago, if you saw it. I mean, that one day, I called you guys on Monday, it was over Shanghai trading. It hit 118 a barrel from like 80-something a barrel the day before over weekend trading with Shanghai. It jumped up to $30 a barrel. It's insane. In the markets, you got to understand this. When people go, well, this lost $500 billion was vaporized in the market.
No, it's not.
No, it wasn't. Money. Somebody made money and somebody lost money. Somebody had a great day and somebody had a horrible day.
That's
money
right.
Just moves in the market. Somebody takes money out. Somebody puts money in. Somebody's account goes up way high. Somebody's account gets liquidated. Somebody gets a margin call and goes bankrupt. That's how it works in the markets.
Gambling.
The silver and gold market were already on their way back up before we hit Iran. We had that giant short with JP Morgan. And I was going to cover this again today because everybody seems to forget this. JP Morgan faces silver manipulation claims after a historic 32% crash wipes out $2.5 trillion. Didn't wipe out $2.5 trillion. JP Morgan reallocated $2.5 trillion. And what's happened is now people are bringing up the fact that J.P. Morgan has paid over $920 million in fines for silver manipulation over the last 10 years. And once again, they came in and manipulated the market just like they've always done.
Well, it's a naked short. Now, what they do,
explain it.
A naked short is this. Silver is $100 an ounce, okay? We don't want $100 an ounce. So we're going to basically short it and say it's going to go down to $70 an ounce.
Well, they bet that it's going to go down to $70
an ounce. We're going to go ahead and make it $60 an ounce, $50 an ounce, $40 an ounce, and we're going to go no limits on how low it's going to go.
And we're going to
put $100 million into this short. And what happens is everybody goes, oh, my gosh.
Everybody sees
what does J.P. Morgan know? So everybody starts selling their silver and dumping it,
this
and
exactly
that starts dropping down. They've done that with gold and silver now for the last 20 years, 30 years. And this J.P. Morgan's primary. Well, remember, J.P. Morgan is one of the Rothschild banking cartels, founding banks of the Federal Reserve System. So it's just very, very important.
So what happens is, and so I want to clarify, Scott, a lot of people email about this over the weekend. When you have a bank like J.P. Morgan that controls trillions and trillions of dollars in assets, and all of a sudden,
derivatives,
and all of a sudden they put in a naked short for, you know, $100 billion in silver, $100 billion short. Everybody sees that. Everybody goes, what the heck does J.P. Morgan know that we don't know? We're liquidating. Liquidate. Dump it. And so what happens is you see the price go down dramatically. Well, then J.P. Morgan, because they shorted it, they make a boatload of money on the back end. What was happening was people were realizing there was no physical. COMEX wasn't going to be able to fill it. I talked about this in January, if you want to watch one of my shows I did solo. I told you that the COMEX had to start doing silver deliveries in the middle of March, in the end of March, when they had to get deliveries. A lot of those deliveries and contracts have now been canceled for physical because the price has dropped precipitously off what it was. They had to have a distraction to get people to stop trying to demand physical silver. So what's happened now? People have canceled contracts. People have taken paper market. Nobody's questioning silver markets anymore as far as physical. The second part of that, these AI infrastructures have to be propped up with silver. The amount of silver that's used in these AI data centers is enormous. The cost effectiveness of building these AI data centers went to crap a couple months ago when silver was pushing $120 an ounce. You couldn't buy a Silver Eagle for less like $120, $130. When you tried to get the physical market, you couldn't get it. Those AI data centers aren't going to run on hopes and dreams. Now all of a sudden, you're, you know, $5, $6, $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 million silver contract and silver for your AI data center now suddenly goes to $150, $250 million in silver. They couldn't cash flow it. Those AI data centers are already not operable from a cash positive standpoint. They had to get the market down and crush silver and gold. And so what happened was, what did everybody go to once this war started? Oil. That's what went from 50 a barrel now to 100 a barrel in just 3 weeks. Everybody moved their cash out of the metals and they went to oil.
It's the egg phenomenon again.
Yeah.
$12 a dozen. I'm paying $2 a dozen now for organic eggs.
Right.
This is what it's supposed to be.
Right.
With the speculators, they touch, there's like 60 speculators before oil goes to the market to touch it. 60. And they can run it up, run it down, run it up, run it out.
Here's the manipulative part, right? So I looked it up. Florida has less fuel surcharge taxes than the state of Missouri does. We've got less. We're a huge import state. When we went up to St. Louis, diesel was only $4.20 a gallon up there. When we flew right back into Florida, next day, 2 days later, diesel down here in Florida is $5.50 a gallon.
No, it's $5.70.
It was almost $1.50 more in Florida than it is in St. Louis. And I watched it personally. We looked at it. Every single guy. And it wasn't like one gas station. Every gas station up there was in the low fours for diesel. Regular was like
in the economy. The economy in Missouri is garbage.
It's right. Mm-hmm. But again, that shows you how manipulative the fuel markets are because the oil prices haven't even hit production yet at those prices. Yet we saw oil or diesel go up $1.50 a gallon within a few days, a few weeks here in Florida. Again, that shows you the speculators, the manipulation of the markets, what they needed to do. They pushed everything into oil. They bet on oil because it's conflict.
Trivia. I have trivia. Pick me.
Okay. Hey, you, Mr. Brower, in the front.
Trivia. Got it. You know, J.P. Morgan, total unbelievable steaming, slimy pile of feces. Okay, this is the original J.P. Morgan from 100 years ago. He was directly involved with the Rothschild banking cartel. He claimed to have all this money, but when he died, they found that it was all backed by the Rothschilds. He did not have that much. He was one of the founding members of the Federal Reserve Bank. But here's what's interesting. He ended up going and meeting with the Pope in the Vatican. I don't know how he had that kind of clout, but we all know that basically the Rothschild banking cartel is also controlled by the international Kabbalists. We saw that with the book, you know, The Unholy Alliance with the Vatican, the CIA, and the Mafia. And he met with the Pope. And then he had a boat ride scheduled. He was supposed to be on the Titanic.
Yes, he was. Documented, by the way.
Oh, by the just we're not making this up. And all of a sudden, he decides he's not going to get on the Titanic. I mean, he has basically John Jacob Astor, one of the richest men in the world, who was diametrically opposed to the formation of a Federal Reserve in the United States of America, said he would use all of his assets to stop it, owned most of downtown New York. The guy was, like, super, super rich. And he had said, no, we're not doing a Federal Reserve. Not happening. You're not going to do what you did to Europe and destroy these countries. And so what happened is John Jacob Astor decides he's on the boat ride with J.P. Morgan. And Morgan just says, oh, by the way,
telegram,
not going. And then the captain, who was a high-level Jesuit of that Titanic, decided to sail into an iceberg field at full throttle.
Yeah.
With a triple-screw boat, by the way, with 3 big inches pushing 3 propellers, which that's powerful.
It's fast, but it didn't handle good.
No, it could go fast in a straight line,
yeah.
But it can't turn very well. And so he runs into an iceberg field, you know, full speed by captain's orders, and shears the side of the boat off.
And don't forget, J.P. Morgan sent a telegraph after Astor was on the boat over in the penthouse and said, oh, by the way, last minute change, I'm not going to make it. So you got to think, you're already on the boat, you're in the penthouse. This is the nicest liner, cruise liner in existence.
Maiden voyage.
You're like, he's not going to show up. Whatever. This thing's, remember they always said it was unsinkable. Boat couldn't sink. Impossible. So much they said so. Did they intentionally didn't put enough life rafts on the boat?
And it was the first time in naval history that men were kept off life rafts.
First time.
They're
deploying life rafts with half full life
because
rafts.
Because the women refused to get on the boats without their men.
Yeah.
And so John Jacob Astor died on Titanic along with several other industrialists who were also opposed to the Federal Reserve. Now, also remember, this unsinkable boat, they had these internal components, compartments that were supposed to be watertight.
Right.
And what they didn't do, they didn't bother to put any tops on them.
Yeah. They'd cap and flow over.
Yeah, so they flapped all over, float over. And so the unsinkable boat went down, and John Jacob Astor died.
It was horrible.
And the Federal Reserve happened right after that. You think, you're telling me that you think, yes, I just told you that's what I believe happened to stop the, you know, him, John Jacob Astor doing
it. So when you hear about J.P. Morgan getting fined $920 million for manipulating silver prices, the case involved hundreds of thousands of fake orders designed to move prices before cancellation. J.P. Morgan faced criminal convictions for their roles in the scheme. Modern silver trading operates primarily through future contracts other than physical metal. For every 1 ounce of physical silver, hundreds of ounces of paper contracts exist. J.P. Morgan maintained position on one of the largest bullion banks operating on the COMEX. They couldn't let silver run the way they was going to run because they couldn't manipulate it anymore if it did that. And people were going to realize you couldn't get delivery at any price of silver. Oh, that's why they shorted it.
Just as a personal note here, I have a friend of mine who has silver in his SEP account, Simplified Employee Pension Account,
yep,
with J.P. Morgan. And he tried to he put the money into Gold Eagles about 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Had his entire SEP account put it. They will do that for you.
Okay.
So then he tried to take delivery of the Gold Eagles. They will not allow delivery.
Well, they just want to give you, cut them a check?
No, it's just paper. It's just, there's no physical
silver. There's no physical
silver. It probably doesn't even exist. It was gold. And now he never even saw the Eagles. Yeah. They were supposedly there. But that's what these guys always do. They always manipulate everything. And you got to remember, J.P. Morgan is also the one when, you know, Westinghouse and Tesla were working together as far as the development of Niagara Falls and power and all the rest. Westinghouse and Tesla basically had developed all these great technologies, and Tesla developed a Wharton-Cliffe Tower,
yep,
which is going to broadcast power all over the world, all over New York, all over the area, without wires, for free. And J.P. Morgan came in and bought the technology with Tesla.
And scrapped it.
Yeah, why don't you look it up? In 1908, Tesla decided to turn that sucker on and beam energy across the planet. And all of a sudden, a huge area of Russia in the woods got wiped out.
And they
were trying to say, well, it was a meteorite. No, it wasn't. He turned on the Wharton-Cliffe Tower, decided to beam energy, and it created a giant field. You know, what we talk about all the time with our, you know, our body and how it communicates to each other. You know, and it basically discharged on the other side of the planet. we have the ability to create energy and broadcast it through the air because of the electromagnetic field that we're in. We do not need to have wires, and we do not need to burn fossil fuel. And J.P. Morgan knew that, and they found that they couldn't monetize it because Tesla wanted to give it away for free, and they shut it down because it creates a giant energy scalar field. And what happens is it creates tremendous scalar potential, and when it discharges on the other side of the planet, it was kind of like...
The platform needed to be refined a little bit better. But Tesla was wild.
Well, have you ever walked across a wool carpet?
Yeah.
Okay.
At night.
Yeah. Well,
it's sparked all the time.
Well, no. And then you grab something and you get shocked. Okay. Yeah. That's the energy field that we live in. And so the crazy part is Tesla, he had taken this copper down rod hundreds of feet into the earth to create this giant working cliff tower. Look it up if you don't believe all this stuff. Remember, all this was happening about 120 years ago, about the same time the Federal Reserve was coming in, about the same time Samuel Untermeyer was pushing Zionism, about the same time Theodore Herzl was running around, about the same time the Scofield Reference Bible all got started, yep. And they were all pushing for the formation of Israel. All of this stuff was all happening at once. That would have been a fun time to be alive, but the problem is back then there was no media coverage of any of this because they didn't have TV.
I think that's kind of the thing that's ironic now is that we're learning so much now about
what
our
they
history
did.
And our past because we have access to everything. Because back then, like you said, the newspaper that got thrown at your front door every morning or before that, you had to go buy one on the street. That was the only media coverage you really had access to.
But remember, the Rothschilds didn't own all those back then.
That's true.
A lot of that was independent coverage. That's why in 1993, I believe it was when Clinton was president, they basically decentralized what they were doing as far as radio and media, and they allowed one company to come in and buy all the media in one city. I was there when it all happened, and they could say to you, oh, by the way, you've been blackballed. Yep. We own every single media thing in the city. You can't get independent news anymore. That was done.
That's what they do with social media now, because social media turned into this giant platform.
Well, who bought TikTok?
Oh, yeah.
Israel. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Representative Lauren Boebert says she will vote a no for the $200 billion Israeli war supplement they're trying to pass.
I saw that. $200 billion.
I am tired of the industrial war complex getting all of our hard-earned tax dollars. Yeah, she's about right. And now what's going to happen, whether that passes or not, but they're saying, we're running out of money for this. Why don't you just stop it? Oh, my gosh, there was a thought. Just don't go after countries that haven't done anything to you. This reminds me so much of Iraq. Remember, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. We've got to take down Iraq. We got to blame Iraq. Afghanistan had nothing. We went into Afghanistan because we wanted to base the poppy fields had basically been burned by the doggone people in Afghanistan. They had enough of it. The CIA was short heroin. That's what was going on. So we had to go into into Afghanistan and basically rebuild the poppy fields. We have had many of our listeners, listen to me, send us photographs of their Humvees driving around poppy fields. They were told they were not allowed to touch them. I'm talking tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres of poppy. And then they built processing plants there for heroin in Afghanistan. And then guess what? When we discovered fentanyl, we didn't need Afghanistan anymore. So what do? We pull out.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No, they're not. They weren't supposed to have gunfights in the poppy fields. I talked to some of my infantry guys. They weren't supposed to get in gunfights, or they're supposed to patrol around them, not walk through them.
That's right. They couldn't trample the poppy plants.
And also, that was one area that they were not allowed to do any type of basically infrastructure. It's explosions, ordnance, nothing. The poppy fields were basically sacrosanct over there. Couldn't touch them. Mm-hmm. It was ironic about that is now you start seeing who manipulated that entire war. And yeah, what I saw the other day, they won a $200 billion, fifth of a trillion dollars for this boondoggle over there. And I just shook my head the other day. I was talking to one of my buddies, and I said, this is just, it's become nauseating at this point. It really has.
You know, this morning, I got up, I ate my eggs, and I went and I took some extra B complex.
Did you?
Yeah. Because I'm thinking to myself, you know, I've got to do something with the cortisol and the stress and talking about this stuff all the time. So I hammered the B-complex because B-complex will calm you down.
Well, I got a good article. You like this then? Basically, eating good quality, high organic meat actually is showing to protect risk of Alzheimer's disease. Imagine that. So that filet mignon they tell you not to eat because it's going to mess up your cholesterol because it's 205 and you need to be on your statin drugs are actually showing that this filet mignon actually helps prevent Alzheimer's.
I'm going to just tell you
this. Oh, my gosh. Imagine this.
The boys who run the porn industry.
The ones that like free air.
Those are the same boys that run all this alt media as far as against meat.
Yep.
Because here's the problem. When your cholesterol is at 205, it's getting kind of low. They want you lower than that, because once you get it lower than that, you don't have enough cholesterol in your system. You can't make testosterone.
Yep.
I just talked about toxic masculinity. It kind of goes away. You turn into a toxic. You start acting gay.
Wait, let me clarify.
It happens subtly. And so what ends up happening, you start, you know, walking around with a little whiskey in your step, and you got this little thing, and you got your wrist broke all the time. They're always walking around. I mean, it becomes unbelievable. And you all of a sudden, you're like, well, what happened to me? I wasn't like this. You know, and what happens is you lose the – there's an old song by Linda Ronstadt. I know she was a liberal. Don't start on me, okay? And it was funny. It was her and Kermit the Frog. And I need to play it. I'll play it here. No, it's funny. And she starts saying, and she's, you know, she's in love with this frog thing, right? And all of a sudden she starts talking about, you know, don't you, about how she, you'll know a guy if he loves you by his kiss, right? And it's like he's acting like a man. And the crazy part about it is they don't want that, Austin.
No.
That's why so many of these guys are so effeminate. And these women who are their ages, you know, in their 20s and 30s and 40s in some cases, they can't find anybody to date because the guys are all like sissy boys. And the sad part about it is this group that wants us not to eat meat, this is what they want. Okay, I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. I'm going to talk about it for a second. Years ago, about 10 years ago, I was at a hotel in, it was in Aspen. And we had parked the motorhome because we'd had enough. We had a bunch of kids in there with us, and we just got a hotel for a couple of days. And I had heard by David Crane. About 20 years ago, we went to New York City to watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. We got into the taxi back then. It was before Uber. And I told David, here's the thing. If you notice, there won't be any Christmas decorations up depicting Jesus. I said, there'll be beautiful shows and stores and all this other kind of stuff, but nothing about Christ. And the guy goes, the taxi driver goes, well, that's because New York's controlled by the Jewish gay mafia. And I said, oh, okay. And he starts talking about the theater industry and all the other stuff like that. And he goes, that's the biggest problem they have is they can't find the women. The Jewish women can't find, you know, guys to marry because the guys are all gay. And I, it was kind of crazy. I'm thinking, okay. Well, I go out to this hotel a couple years later with Sharon, and we're there with the kids. And all of a sudden, there's this lady by the pool. And I asked her, I said, and it was some kind of Jewish convention there. And I asked her, I said, let me ask you a question. I told her the story about the guy in the cab ride. And I said, is it true? And she starts crying, Austin.
Yeah.
She sat there. She started crying. And I said, well, why are you crying? She goes, my husband died a couple years ago. And she was in her late 30s, early 40s. She goes, I can't find any Jewish guys to date. They're all gay. And she goes, that's exactly right. And she says, exactly what happened. So when you have a group of people that believe that transgenderism is the ultimate expression to God, in other words, if you're straight, you're here. If you're gay, you're here. And you're transgender, you're here. And God is here. That means the closest you get to God is being a transgender, being gay. That's what the Kabbalah teaches, by the way. And the crazy part about it is when you start to understand that, you start to realize they don't want you, man, listen to me, to be eating beef. They don't want your cholesterol over 200 because they don't want you making testosterone. Now, you think, well, you said all that just to say that? Yes. They want you effeminate. They want you to be basically passive, servile, and infertile. They want you to shut up, be quiet, and just take it. Because remember what they have got to do. This is the lesser or white magic from Kabbalah. They've got to tell you what they're going to do to you before they do it to you. And if you say no, they can't do it. But if you say yes, they get to choose whatever they want to do to you. It's like the vampire comes to your house, right? And he goes, may I come in? The answer is no. Absolutely no. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I cast you out. No, you may not come in the house and bite me. No, go away. But a lot of people say yes, come on in. We live here in a state that's filled with pit vipers. I mean, we have water moccasins, we have copperheads, we have rattlesnakes. This is like the land of, you know, how many different ways can you be killed walking into a lake? That's this land. I've learned something. If someone shows up at my front door with a basket full of pit vipers, and they pull the lid off of it, and these things are coiled up, and they're hissing and looking at you, and they put the lid back on, here, you got to sign for this as your delivery. I'm not signing for it. That's what lesser or white magic is. They've got to tell you what they're going to do to you. So they tell you, oh, by the way, your cholesterol's 200. You believe it, you stupid moron?
Goyim.
Goyim. That, by the way, that was thousands of times that term was used in the Epstein files. And you go, oh, I've read that. Oh, you're right. I need to take this
cholesterol medication, and all of a sudden, pretty soon, your brain goes to mush, your muscles start aching, you start to atrophy, your kidneys go to crap, and now they're making all the money on the backside because they got you kidney dialysis.
I want to cover this because, like you just said,
unbelievable.
But they tell us what they're going to do. They're discussing here in this article, those who ate the least meat had double the risk of basically dementia. Less meat, double risk of dementia.
And cancer's through the roof.
Among the highest meat eaters, the risk gap narrowed to the point there was no longer statistically significant for cognitive decline anymore. Meaning the more meat they ate. Now, it says this. I want to clarify this. Not all meat was equal. Diets higher in processed meat, such as bacon, sausage, deli meats, were linked to higher risk of dementia. Essentially, where they looked at it was fresh red meat, primarily grass-fed poultry and fish. So there's a difference. Don't think, oh, man, I don't want dementia. I'm going to eat my 8 pieces of bacon in the morning.
That's not what I'm talking about. That's how you die.
Now, tying back into what Dad just said, they tell you. Now, here's this I want to do is completely independent, right? So this is Google. I want to use Google on this. Google, do statin drugs lower testosterone? Yes, statins lower testosterone as they reduce the cholesterol required to produce steroid hormones, including testosterone. Studies show statistically significant decrease in total testosterone in men taking statins. Okay. This isn't a right wing. This isn't a news article. This is me asking Google, do statins decrease testosterone? Yes, directly linked. Secondly, does estrogen increase in men with lower testosterone? Yes, lower testosterone due to increased romanization, which means the lower testosterone you have, the higher amount of estrogen you're going to have, including obesity, aging, stress, alcohol consumption increases it, gynecomastia, sexual dysfunction, physical changes, emotional and physical fatigue when testosterone goes down. Eat less meat. Take less vitamins, take more statins, your test is going down, your estrogen is going up, you're going to act like a little boy.
No, meow boy. Meow boy. Meow, 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 meow boy.
Like a little, like a little pussycat.
Yeah.
There you go.
They're telling you here. This is Google. I'm not even going on a health site. This is Google telling you they are directly linked, statistically significant. Mm-hmm. So do that with what you may. This is why I tell everybody, if you want to run the Testo Plus, this stuff's great. It's got the Shilajit in it. If you want to run the Tribulus, which is probably the highest quality Tribulus I have ever tested and personally used, this is out of Bulgaria, and we have to bring this out of Switzerland to bring it in. This product is insanely good as far as increasing testosterone. Supplements to take, stuff to stay away from. Tribulus and testosterone and Tongat, good. Statins, bad. Good red meat, sausage, bad. I can't make it any easier than that. No. Do that with what you want. If you want to be strong, healthy, feel good, want to be a guy, do that. If you want to act like a little girl, take your statins, keep your testosterone low, and eat your soy protein.
First of all, I tell you, if you want to extend your life expectancy, you got to stop eating meat. All right? Okay, if you want to act like a little meow girl, and you want to walk around a sachet and go ahead and wear your little clothes and your little whatever, and you want to act like that the rest of your life, okay, stop eating meat. Because it's probably going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Okay? If you want to stop finding your wife attractive, it's probably going to happen to you, all right? If you get your testosterone down low enough. So all of this crazy crap they lie to you about, okay? Because they want you to be a meow boy.
That's exactly right.
They want you to be – when they put this fluoride on us in 46 – They knew that for the concentration camp research they saw that it causes the inmates to become servile and infertile, and so you become like a servant. You just shut up and do what you're told because you're working in a munitions plant and it's slave labor, so you got to shut up. And they put you on fluoride, they put it in the water, and they found out that it makes the pace of the population dumbed down, destroys IQ points. So they thought, 1946, we saw the research. Let's go ahead and dump it in the United States water supply.
Yep.
And now they're coming after Kennedy full tilt trying to put it back in the water supply because they don't want the United States population not being servile and infertile.
What are the two things they're filing lawsuits and pushing hard as heck on with RFK? Vaccines
and fluoride.
And fluoride. Yeah. Both of them.
And the thing about it is, like the other day I was watching your kids play with some other kids.
My kids.
Your kids. And I was watching them. I'm watching the mental acuity. And I'm watching the other kids have been vaccinated. And I think to myself, this is odd to me. You know, the other kids don't seem to be as bright, as sharp. They're obese. They look awful. And your kids are, like, on point, you know? And I thought to myself, why does it have to be that way? Well, the reality is that if you tell somebody that their children are not going to be the best they can be if they do this, 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 and this to them, and they've been brainwashed by the medical-industrial complex. What it is, it's a medical, you know, you have the military-industrial complex, we have the medical-industrial complex.
And it's dang near almost as big.
Oh, it's so,
The pharmaceutical industry is, what, $540 billion a year?
Oh, yeah. And that didn't include all the hospitals.
No, that's pharmaceutical industry.
It's probably as big as
the
military.
And then you got the industrial complex, just the Pentagon gets $980 billion. This is an article talking about somebody being awake here. I like this. This is Brian Thornburg. He's a board-certified pediatrician, trained both osteopathic and conventional medicine. He's built a practice now that diverges sharply from the mainstream pediatrics. He used to be a hardcore vaccine pusher. And I will commend him for this. When you have a doctor that's trained up in that medical model and he actually wakes up and he does something about it, I have an enormous amount of respect for this, because there's a lot of doctors that go, no, man, I want my Blue Cross Blue Shield vaccine bonus. I need my $100,000 bonus.
Sometimes
it's a lot of money.
Sometimes $200,000.
It's a lot of money. You know, so say all your kids get shots, you get extra $100,000 a year. Golly, if you're in the medical world and you're trying to pay your bills and you got a lot of debt, you got five ex-wives.
There you go.
$100,000 is a nice chunk of extra
cash.
You got five ex-wives
who all have
car payments.
Car payments and children, everything
else. And all the ex-wives got to drive Mercedes.
Somebody's got to pay for the swimming pool for the ex-wives.
I'm going to get emails on that one.
Well, they have to have Mercedes.
They got Mercedes,
no one,
or they got to have Escalades.
No, they want a Urus.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. No, they want a Urus, or they want a G-Wagon. No,
it's always a G-Wagon, usually.
No, it's a G-Wagon. Yeah. That's like 8 miles per gallon. It's a great car. It'll go out in the lake with you if you wanted it to, and if you put a snorkel on it, you can drive it around underwater.
You got to pay for five payments, though. You got five ex-wives and five G-Wagon payments.
Well, the five ex-wives have to have a swimming pool. Okay.
And they got to go on their monthly cruise.
They
got to go on a monthly cruise.
Yeah, and they have to have the nannies for the kids because they're all running around the world on your dime.
I'm being sarcastic, but
the truth of the matter is, I've seen these doctors do surgeries, and I've read about them doing surgeries and diagnosing them with cancer. I've seen it because they're trying to pay bills. They don't get paid if they don't do surgery if they're a surgeon.
That's true.
Sometimes they'll do surgery on you. Oh, it's just a routine surgery. It's no big deal. We're going to take your jaw out, put part of your leg in there, and then we're going to radiate it because you got a little tiny speck of cancer here in your jaw and your mandible. And so we'll take care of it. It'll be routine. Yeah, okay. 8 years later, they're still dealing with that. Okay. And then they get to the point where they don't know what to do anymore. So some other idiot gets in there and takes the tongue and sews it to the bottom of the mouth so now they can't talk anymore. I've seen it all, buddy. I've seen all of it. I know people have had this happen to them. And I say, oh, it's a lump in your breast. Let's not double check it with something else. Let's just go ahead and do a double mastectomy.
Listen to this. He said, my views on vaccines were conventional. I didn't have a vaccine opinion other than what they told me. Vaccines were essential. They were the cornerstone of health. I needed to give as many vaccines as needed. Part of my training involved a clinic basically working with families. The approach was to take advantage of the moment when children, many of whom have missed regular wellness visit, to up their vaccines. This is him quoting this. We were taught if they miss an appointment, then we stick as many needles into that kid as needed to get them back on track to a fully vaccinated status as possible.
Unbelievable.
Giving 7, 8, 9 vaccines at a single time, I didn't even blink an eye. When Thornburg finished his residency and joined a practice, like most pediatricians, he followed the established childhood vaccine schedule without question, administering multiple vaccines at once when necessary, and even refusing patients who declined them. I've been there, done that, physically. He goes, he fully vaccinated his own children, even giving his second daughter, who had fallen behind on schedule, 7 vaccines at once. He goes, I towed the party line without much thought. He goes, as he built his practice, though, he began encountering parents. Often highly educated professional parents who raise questions about the vaccine shot schedule.
That would be us.
At first, he dismissed their concerns, but eventually he began reviewing the materials they brought him. The inquiry led to him is describing a pivotal realization that vaccine practices vary significantly across countries and that medicine itself is shaped not only by science but by culture. He goes, medicine is a combination of science and culture. You interpret the science through a cultural prism, and the global vaccine prism and practices were getting out of hand. This is the whole story. I'm going to post an article you can read about him. He started breaking from corporate medicine. Now he's turned a complete opposite direction. It's basically telling people, don't take these shots. Pretty much under any circumstance, unless you feel like you need to do a specific shot for something to where you're going, the location of the world, and if you do, try to get a singular shot. So you can read this article on here and how he went through COVID and everything else, but this shows you how they trained them and how he responded to it. And I'm proud of this guy for standing up, but it shows you how crazy it is when he says, if they missed the session, we stuck them with as many needles as we possibly could.
Years ago, we're in North Carolina up there, and we're moving some wood with nails in it.
Oh, yeah.
And your younger sister was helping us. Not to mention any names. and she's throwing the wood being wild. And it's got big old 16 and 20 penny nails in it. And I told her, you're going to cut yourself. And within 5 minutes, she ripped her hand open. You probably don't even remember this. And so we had to take her to like a walk-in clinic. First thing he asked is, how many shots has she had? I mean, what do you mean shots? No, her vaccines. We need to bring her up to date on her vaccines.
That's the crazy
part.
Wait.
She's these six stitches in her hand, right? And they want to bring her up to date on all of her vaccines.
Maybe I could see them maybe saying, when was her last tetanus shot?
No, they wouldn't know about
that. But no, they always do. They don't care. They're not like, oh, when was the tetanus shot? We need to know her entire vaccine shot schedule. Oh, she hasn't had measles shot? Oh, she has a chickenpox shot? She needs that too while she's here.
Money, buddy. And I mean, I couldn't believe it. And then it was unbelievable what they did there. But they stitched her up and she was fine. But the crazy part about it is, oh, by the way, she didn't get any shots. The crazy part about it is that, you know, we sit back and we watch this and we think it's okay and it's not okay. It goes right back to the vampire at the door. You got to say no. Pastor Wright had something interesting last night. You've heard this analogy before. We all have two wolves in us. One's a good wolf, one's a bad wolf, right? And they're talking and biting at us all the time, both of them. And they asked the man who's given this analogy, they said, well, which wolf wins? Whichever one you feed the most.
Interesting.
You know, so what you got to do is if you put garbage in your mind and they tell you the vaccines are good, 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 that wolf's going to win. I mean, I've seen it, Austin.
Yeah.
I've seen it with kids that are autistic now because the parents didn't listen to me.
Yeah. Toxic foods, ultra-processed foods, high fructose
corn syrup. That wolf's going to win. You're going to be
vaccine
sick.
Vaccine after vaccine after vaccine. It's going to win. It got fed.
You're going to have obese children. You're going to have sick children. You're going to have kids that don't listen. You're going to have kids that can't compete in school.
You're going to have kids that are in the 0 to 5 age bracket that they want to put on pharmaceutical psychiatric drugs. Hmm. Talked about it last week. Xanax, Prozac,
the
Adderall at 2 and 3 and 4 years old.
You got to say no to the vampire. You got to say no to the basket full of pit vipers. You got to say no. I'm not going to do that. And once you learn to say no, it gets easier and easier.
Yeah, that is true.
It really does. Yeah, and so that's the thing. And by the way, there's one thing you always say yes to, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. For this is the day the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice, and we will be glad in it. And I learned a long time ago, God's will, I mentioned at the beginning of the show, God's will done God's way, it never lacks God's support. Always remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, including saying no to these whack bags who tell us to do all of this stuff, Austin. What do you think?
You're spot on with that. And I mean, that's why we try to do the best we can on this show to bring you guys the latest updated news with the health research and the topics that I find to be the most relevant. There's so much stuff going on. And there's certain times Ted and I will talk before the show, and I'm like, listen, some of this stuff is just fodder. I want to always try to give you guys stuff that you can make actual positive changes to progress further. Because that's the thing, is adapting and progressing on a constant basis. If you sit stagnant, you're going backwards. Making progress positively is key, especially when it comes to your health. Constantly making positive dietary decisions. You're not always going to eat clean all the time. I mean, I stopped by the other day. We were traveling. I got a Five Guys burgers. I'm eating like all day. We're in the airport dealing with spring break.
Well, I had one too.
You had one too.
I had beef. It was beef.
Beef. Yeah.
Now
jalapenos.
Now some people hate Five Guys.
Right.
I mean, they
and I'm okay
do.
With that. And, yeah. and I get what I'm saying. My point of saying this is, I don't eat perfect all the time. I'm not getting on this show saying I don't ever eat any junk food.
I think Five Guys is pretty good meat. It's never been frozen.
It's quality. Yeah. It's for a burger for fast food. I mean, when they test it against McDonald's, Burger King,
no
myself, it's all moldy and rot within a few days.
Not the Five Guys.
No, the Five Guys is. It's
the Five Guys.
It's dying. It's breaking down. The McDonald's never broke down. After a month,
okay,
it didn't
okay.
change. It was perfect. It still looked like it was brand new. That's because there's preservatives in it. I digress. Eating about 80-20 is where you need to be with it. If you stay at 80-20, you'll stay in good shape, at least exercising, getting, whether you're going walking, round trampoline, doing something at least a couple times a week. You don't have to be in there all the time. A lot of times I'll step out for a couple weeks and just, you know, cut down on calories, do a fast, exercise, do some cardio. But changing things and constantly doing the best you can is really crucial with it. Like the vitamin C, keep your immune system up. That's the fact that we're actually having children now, still currently getting scurvy in the United States, is reprehensible to me.
It's unbelievable. Oh, by the way, the FDA has issued urgent warnings now for 29 supplements sold on Amazon and eBay because they contain, they're poisonous.
We'll cover that tomorrow. I was going to cover that today. We'll cover that tomorrow. Because remember, they don't test this stuff. They don't check it. They give a questionnaire when people carry stuff on their site, and they drop ship it or they fill out whatever they get on a pallet. They don't test it. They don't look at it. They don't ask, say it. That's why here at Health Masters, we bring you guys the highest quality supplements that I personally take. I'll take a can right here, and I use it all the time, and I got another one that's sealed up, and I ship to you. They're all the same. I take it, I make it, I use it, and so do my kids. And the purple sticks and the cans are going to be back this week.
This week?
They're here.
I'm addicted to purple sticks.
We know. You guys, check out the site.
But it's something to be healthy to be addicted to.
Exactly right. Make sure you vote for Product of the Week, too. Coming up this week, what do you want to see? Win Purple Stick Packets, Sublingual B12, Tribulus Fuel. I know you guys like that one. It was like Purple Sticks winning.
I'm also addicted to eating healthy.
I do, too. I don't like eating.
And I'm addicted to going to church, too. I got a lot of good addictions. You have good ones.
Guys, have a fantastic evening. Have good addictions. We'll talk to you on this show.
I love you guys.